Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, November the 20th. Thanksgiving is coming, another week, and we're in the Thanksgiving mood, if you will, the mood to get together with family, have a nice dinner, take off for a couple of days. That's what it's all about. I hope you have your plans all set and all your cooking, not ready, but of course, you're planning whatever you're going to cook that day. You know, one of the most interesting things about Thanksgiving for me is how different immigrant groups in the United States have contributed their own little piece of food, if you will, to the Thanksgiving table. So, of course, everybody has turkey and the traditional stuff. But all the different immigrant groups have brought something, like many Mexicans in this area, for example, have tamales. If you go to a Cuban home, like, you know, the one that I grew up in, Thanksgiving, you had the turkey, but it also had yuca, you had some rice, some black beans to go with it. So it's really fascinating how different groups have contributed to the Thanksgiving table. And it's completely understandable because it is a family holiday. So the family gets together. Of course, you're going to get together with your family and you're going to eat the food that your family knows how to cook or your family enjoys eating. So anyway, Thanksgiving, one of the really nice holidays of the year, and it's coming up in another week. I hope everybody is ready for it. I have a post over at the American Thinker. My stuff is usually on the right-hand side, or they have the different posts. And it's about Trump derangement syndrome and the latest edition of Trump derangement syndrome, which is Whoopi Goldberg and this commentary that she made about this bakery in New York. You know, as I write in my post, Trump derangement syndrome is a dangerous thing. And the people who come under Trump derangement syndrome end up saying and doing some very stupid things, very stupid things. So if you hate Trump, you can hate Trump all you want. I mean, that's fine. You can hate him all you want. You can vote against him. You can disagree with him all you want. But don't fall into the Trump derangement syndrome category, because that will simply mean that you're going to do something stupid down the road. It could hurt your career. It could cost you some friends or whatever. So don't stay away from Trump derangement syndrome. It doesn't end well when you get invested in it. And, you know, we're seeing it a little bit with that program, The View, you know, a program that just keeps, let me say hello to some of the people who are checking in. Thank you for checking in with us. But anyway, stay away from Trump derangement syndrome. You can have political arguments. You can have political debates. That's fine. That's fine. We can disagree. But stay away from Trump derangement syndrome, because you're going to be a lot happier. You know, I've got a post coming out tomorrow talking about something very interesting happening in Mexico. All of you may be familiar with something called Moody's credit rating. Moody's credit rating. I think Moody's is based in New York or London. I'm not exactly 100% sure. But what they do is that they give country credit ratings, much the same way that you would give a person a credit rating or a credit score or whatever you call it on an individual basis. So they give countries credit ratings, and then, you know, these credit ratings are used by international organizations to judge and evaluate the credit worthiness of a particular country. And here recently, they've downgraded Mexico. And it's interesting why they're doing it. I'm sure that most Mexicans didn't like the downgrade. Most people don't like it when they're downgraded. But they're downgrading Mexico, Moody's that is, downgrading Mexico as a country, that is, for some interesting reasons. First of all, they think that the spending is way out of control. They have a huge budget deficit, and they think that that's not a good idea, not a good idea to be spending all that money. Also, another thing, and this is what I think is driving the downgrade more than anything else, is this situation in Mexico where the governing party has decided to have all the judges in the country elected by popular vote. Now, the reason the governing party is doing this is because they think they're going to be able to win or put all the judges in the elections. In other words, they control the elections, so they're going to fill the courts with judges who basically rubber stamp whatever they are proposing. Now, that's where the situation has become very complicated for Mexico and in the views of a place like Moody and the credit rating. And that's because a lot of investors are worried about the independence of the judiciary when the judiciary is simply, excuse me, elected officials. I mean, yes, we in Texas, for example, where I live, we have elected judges. We elect some of the local and some of the district and some of the state judges. But the federal judges, the ones who go to the federal judiciary, like the Supreme Court, the district courts, those judges are actually appointed by the president, and they have to go through confirmation by the Senate. So you've got at least some kind of a process where the competency and, you know, let's say the integrity of these judges is put through at least some kind of a review when they go through the U.S. Senate. But when they're completely elected, then it simply becomes a question of who's got the majority. And that's the fear that many of the investors have in Mexico. And that is one of the fears that is holding back some investments in Mexico at the moment. And that is a reason, why they downgraded the credit rating of the country. Now, this whole thing about the judges has been passed. And I believe that next year they're going to start electing judges directly in a popular vote. But there is still a lot of concern within Mexico that this is going to hurt the country. So I wouldn't be surprised. If they revisit this sometime down the road and bring it back to a situation where the judges at least had to go through some kind of scrutiny, not just a popular vote. But for the moment, concerns about an independent judiciary was one of the reasons why Moody's, the credit rating agency, decided to downgrade Mexico for the simple reason that they feel that this has hurt the stability, the political stability of Mexico. So we'll see how this goes. But Moody's, the credit rating agency, has downgraded Mexico. I don't remember the last time that Mexico was downgraded like this. I can't think of another time, at least in recent memory, maybe many years ago, but in recent memory, I don't. I think Mexicans were always very jealous and very protective of their credit rating. And for some reason, that's not now. And many Mexicans are concerned, and I hope the president of Mexico is concerned about losing or being downgraded in the international financial markets, because that's where the money comes. You know, if you want investors, or if, you know, your banks have to go out and borrow money, that is that this credit rating has a lot to do with how you get that money. A lot of talk, and we're going to be talking a lot more about this as the weeks go by, especially after President Trump steps in. But we're going to be talking a great deal about this whole campaign of deportations. Now, I think that there's a lot of nonsense being said out there that, you know, we're going to be using soldiers and military resources. The military resources could simply be ATF agents or simply, you know, the FBI. I mean, that's all that federal or military sources is. I mean, no one that I know of has contemplated sending in Marines with tanks and drones and airplanes to pick up people who are in the country illegally. But here's what I think is going to happen. This is how I think this program is going to be implemented. The first thing they're going to do is they're going to go after criminal elements. And there's a lot of that. Just ask the mayor of New York City. He can tell you about that problem. It's become a real problem there. So I think that's the first thing they're going to do. They're going to go after those criminal elements, the different gangs and so on. That's what they're going to go after first. And they will use force if necessary to go after those groups, because some of them are pretty violent. They're not going to use the army with machine guns. That's not what they're going to use. But they will use probably ICE, and, you know, those guys are pretty good. And they may use agents, FBI or ATF or whatever. So that's what they're going to use to go after those groups. And I think that's going to be the first, if you will, the first attack on the deportation plan, going after those people. Then, after that's finished, and that could take a while, after that's finished, they're going to go after people who have already been rejected by the court, by the courts. Remember, a lot of people are in the court system, and then they get a letter from the judge saying, your case has been denied, and you've got so many weeks, so many months to leave the country. Apparently, from what I've read, there's about 1 million people like that right now. 1 million people who have those letters, who have been told by a judge, you don't qualify, so you've got to go back to your country of origin. So I assume they're going to go after those people as well. And that's more of a procedural thing. That's not a violent thing that they're going to have to do. They're simply just going to have to tell these people, you've got to get out. And if you don't get out, you're going to be arrested and there will be consequences. And then they're going to have to go after these sanctuary cities. Now, the way you go after the sanctuary cities is by simply denying them money, by simply saying you're not going to get federal funding if you keep, harboring illegal immigrants. Now, some of these cities, like you're hearing from Chicago and from LA, that they're going to fight back, there's very little that they can do. Because at the end of the day, the federal government is supreme when it comes to immigration or the enforcement of immigration laws. So the federal government is going to win. And ICE is going to go in there, whether they like it or not. Now, what could happen is you could have some local officials arrested for defying federal law. That could happen. I hope it doesn't, but that supposedly, theoretically, could happen. You know, you could have a mayor or a governor theoretically arrested by the federal government, but for refusing to implement or follow federal law. I don't think it's ever going to get that far. And the reason that I don't think it's ever going to get that far is because the public favors taking actions like these. In other words, I don't think the public is in favor of having massive, you know, door by door type deportation, but they do want people to leave. And many of these Democrat governors and mayors are going to realize that the people in their district and the people in their states want to resolve this issue of immigration. Now, another thing that I believe is going to happen is once the word gets out that you are enforcing these letters that the judges are sending out, or, you know, once people realize that there's a price to be paid for crossing over or for staying in the country illegally, especially going after employers who hire them, then I think a lot of them are just going to self-deport. A lot of them are just going to say, you know what, this is not what I thought it was going to be. I'm going home. And that will also be part of the process. So I don't expect, you know, the army with tanks and B-52s, you know, participating in these deportation raids. But I do expect ICE and maybe the FBI and some other federal agents to participate. And that's probably going to happen. And it needs to happen. I mean, you have to bring back some order to this rather chaotic immigration situation that we have at the moment. Now, once you clean this up, then I think, you know, I think the system will work a lot better, not just for the nation as a whole, but for the immigrants. I mean, many of them who are victims of crime in many of these communities. So I'm telling you, it's going to be interesting to watch, but it's going to happen. There will be deportations. Here's a little bit of history on this day in history, 1947. So that's what, 77 years ago, the Princess Elizabeth of the UK married a gentleman named Philip. I think he was in the army or in the armed forces. And they were married in 1947. She was the princess of the UK, the royal family. And then, of course, in 1952, she became the Queen of England. So the Queen of England was married on this day. The young woman who became the Queen of England was married on this day in 1947. Of course, she passed away a couple of years ago. Always liked Queen Elizabeth. I always thought she was a neat lady. Always liked her. I'm not a big fan of royal things, but I always thought Queen Elizabeth was a pretty neat lady. Thank you for watching. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Thanks to everybody who checked in. I hope you come back. And we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.